Welcome to episode 2 of New Titans Pod. Today's episode is titled Today the Terminator. So welcome to a new episode of the podcast where we discuss issue by issue the new Teen Titans run under Marv Wolfman and George Perez. Original run, because I think they came back later. I think it was around the time it was Titans, just Titans, and worked on it again for a short time. We'll start things with a random Titans fact. The first Teen Titans series ran for 50 issues, joining the founding four of Robin, Kid Flash, Aqualad, and Wonder Girl, where Speedy, Aquagirl, Bumblebee, Hawk and Dove, Mel Duncan, Lilith, and Grunrock, I think that's how you say it. Did I make that before say Aquagirl instead of Aqualad? There's Aqualad was the original one, and then later there was Aquagirl. Okay, I think that's what I did. It's late, what am I saying? Now the review of issue number 2. Today, the Terminator. The writers for this issue and creators were George Perez and Marv Wolfman, and the layouts was done by George Perez. The finisher, Romeo Tangahal, and I'm sorry if I see any names. It's bad enough me trying to pronounce stuff when I did have teeth, now I don't. But I should be getting them in about 4 or 5 weeks, so that's good. Letterer, Ben Oda, colorist, Androni Roy, and editor, Lin Nguyen. Last episode I mentioned how George Perez draws the best Raven. Well, apply that also to how his take on Deathstroke. And he's like one of those artists, though you could probably apply it to a lot of characters he's drawn, and he does best takes on them. Here you have two big Titan foes that crash through the team's history in Deathstroke the Terminator and the Hive. I don't know if Deathstroke started in Titans, but he's been very much connected with Titans, I think, in the Hive, very much so. There's a really good not taking any shit moment in this issue number 2 between Starfire and the asshole boyfriend character that appears later to do something else. But this adds later to showcase her temperament a little, which comes into question as something that might not be great for the team in a lot of ways, her having a bad temper. But she's a very emotional character anyways, because that's the way her people are. They're extremes of emotions from what I've read. The sparks of the Starfire-Robin romance happened in this issue. There's more Raven mystery involving her and also Kid Flash, which I think was a nice little touch with that character, and it also made them not love her right away. In the fact that she may or may not have did something to his mind to make him kind of her defender. The whole thing with Gar being Richard and Bruce Wayne with his stepfather, I don't know if this is just some get mixed up with different versions of it, but I thought Gar was adopted by the Doom Patrol and that was the only family he ever had. But I may be totally missing that, and that may be just something that appeared on one of the animated series or a different version of the books. But it's interesting having somebody basically Robin somewhere where he's not used to, because usually he's used to fancy stuff. And like, seeing Gar in that set. After reading some of these issues, I'm really liking this version of he's called Changeling in this book, but Beast Boy. At first I thought, well, he's just a very misogynistic, asshole, sexist character. But I do like how the fact that they call him out on shit like that. So I think it's showing that, oh, this guy's this way, which some people are. He's a complex character because he's also a hero and a good guy. But it showed that what he's saying is wrong because they're calling him out on it. The issue of Starfire and Clothes comes up, and from that point on, everyone in this book, everyone's character and readers are more worried about what she's wearing and not wearing than anything else about the character, and that's true now. Any incarnation of her character, the way she's dressed, like, a writer could write a great story with her, but if she's dressed a certain way, people aren't gonna like it. even though her character I think is hard to write in the way that her character needs to be true to that character, and a very thin line between being under-sexualized or over-sexualized. Her character floats that very thin line, so I do think it's hard to write her character, but I also think different people try to claim her as being, oh, the sex symbol, or no, she should be this, which she's neither one. She's like that thin line of being what she is, and that's hard to write, but also you need to work on it to write that character into that thin line. We get more into Cyborg's life in this book. This first trade does a good job of exploring like Starfire's character right away organically, and also Cyborg's character right away organically, and you get their origins as it goes along too, and it works very well. You know, George Perez and Marv Wolfman are such pros. It's like you're getting a master class in storytelling and art and writing in these books. So everybody should read these. And then eventually you get Deathstroke Jr. to show up, Ravager. And so that's it for this issue. I really enjoyed this issue, and I'm going to discuss, of course, each one of these in short installments and short podcasts. Next issue will be number 3, The Fearsome Five. The issue 2 MVP, I'd say, was Starfire. Her character, I think, stood out in so many ways, and her character jumped up from just being a rescued alien to being, oh, she's got a lot of unique characteristics about her character. So I hope people enjoy these podcasts as we do them and release them, and I hope to keep doing them because I really enjoy just being able to talk about comics without thinking, oh, I need to do some kind of production stuff or anything else. And that's one of the reasons why when I talk to different people who are working on the 10-Powered Radio stuff, and we'll be working some of them later in 2017, one of the things we kind of brainstormed was we wanted to do a couple of podcasts where it would just be just the raw audio, just throw the raw audio out with no worries about editing and stuff like that, because that would also give us a release of just being able to talk sometimes. So we might do actually another podcast with a similar format of just doing them on our phones wherever we are, and we'll just put it out like that as another show, because we think it's kind of freeing to have this, like, oh, we don't have to have music, we don't have to make sure it's edited perfectly. We know while we're getting better at all those things, the editing, the formatting, all that stuff, and shows, we're getting better as we go along. I think we also want to have an outlet to where we can just create and not worry about all that too, and I think it's going to be beneficial